Well, I want to thank you all for playing today, for reflecting together, for your willingness to learn and explore. I hope everybody got at least a little bit of time to share. To me, this poem that we have been sitting with is like a mirror for our best selves. Everyone sees something a little bit different, but for me, this poem shows us who we are already, or at least who we have the potential to be. And I find it a great encouragement to be that best self. And so I hope that you will take some encouragement from whatever was speaking to you today. I would like to say that whatever it is, you already own that, you already are that. It's just maybe a question of living a little bit into it. So for me, I am honored that I have the opportunity to share at a little bit greater length about what this poem was for me. The passage that caught me right away was very early on, the line that says, "As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons." And then it goes on, "And listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story." So this line, "as far as possible without surrender," there is this very juicy tension in this line that I certainly need today, I find. Perhaps others will as well. First of all, this call to go as far as possible in our efforts to be on good terms with other people and to listen, to really listen, even to the people that we are ready to label as the dull and ignorant. For me, this is about going farther in our loving than we think we can, to go farther in our listening than we would like to go. For me, as far as possible is farther than I want to go, but it is where I'm called to go. But then to go there without surrender, that's the other side of it, without sacrificing our truth, without sacrificing what we know and value and cling to in these most challenging times that we are participating in. So to go there fully, as far as possible, farther than we want to, but to go there without surrender, without sacrificing the core of ourself, in a way that allows us to speak our truth even as we listen. And I'm reminded of my dear colleague from Richmond, the Reverend Jean Pupke. Jean, who stood in a line of faith leaders in Charlottesville 1 year ago today, along with our own Les Solomon. They stood there surrounded by angry white men with their armor and their clubs and their guns. People yelling words of hatred, some so full of rage that they were ready to injure and kill others. And on that day, Reverend Jean was able to be there in her power, and she was able to look one of them in the eye and say with full sincerity, "I love you." As far as possible without surrender. And so today I'm thinking a lot about what that means for me. What would it mean for me to go that far without surrender? To be on good terms with others, as the poet has it, to speak and listen even to those I would like to judge as ignorant. I have struggled to connect with the humanity of those white supremacists who have shown themselves so ready to spew hatred, to spew violence in Charlottesville and elsewhere. But here is what I believe. With our universalist ancestors, I believe that no one is cut off from the love of that source, that mystery that we all come from. And I believe that that force, which some of us call God, others not, I believe that force loves everybody. And there is nothing that any person can do to be unloved. It's actually not possible not to be loved. It just cannot be done. And not only loved, but infinitely loved. That's what everybody gets. And so racist actions are deeply harmful and need to stop. We need to be part of stopping them. But the moment we judge the being of a person, even a person who commits deeply harmful racist actions, the moment we judge their being, their essence, their soul, the moment we make that judgment that their being is unacceptable or irredeemable, we are lost. Mother Jones published a piece recently profiling a young man who grew up in a white supremacist family in Indiana. His name is Shane. And all his life, Shane was taught to hate. He saw a lot of things and he did a lot of things that most of us would judge as pretty horrible. One day he beat up a stranger and landed in jail. As he sat in the jail cell, he had a sort of epiphany. He felt an unfamiliar sense of shame. His heart began to hurt. And he said to himself, he remembers thinking, what am I doing with my life? How are we the supreme race? We are idiots. And from that moment on, he began a slow process of disengaging from the white supremacy movement, which also meant disengaging from his entire family and all his friends. It was not easy for Shane. His family was enraged. One day, they beat him up so badly, he almost died. Eventually, he connected with an organization that specializes in supporting people who are trying to leave extremist hate groups. Their approach is to offer both clarity and compassion. They have found that, in the words of the writer of this article, I love the way he says it. He says, they found the best way to reform racist thugs may be to offer precisely what they are not willing to offer others, and precisely what many people in this polarized political moment feel they least deserve, and that is empathy. For me, this is a story I need right now. It reminds me of what I know in my heart and what I believe in my mind. And it challenges me to live out my beliefs, to go as far as possible without surrender in my listening and in my loving. And again, I'm not talking about accepting hateful ideas, accepting hateful behaviors. We get to protect ourselves. We get to protect our country and our world from violence and from hate. But what if we could meet everybody with a heart more open to their story, whether they share our values or not? What if we could meet even the most hate-filled people with some hope for transformation? What if we could hold for them at least a glimmer of the love which I do believe the source of all has for them and for each of us? What then? I guess this matters to me because I know that none of us is pure. All of us are in need of transformation. We are in need of forgiveness and limitless love. Show me a person who's not, and I will say that is a blessed person. I think of the story of Eustace, the boy who gets turned into a dragon. When we first meet Eustace, he's kind of a scary monster already. It's just that it's on the inside. He's selfish, and he's angry, and he's sullen, and he's greedy. Or in other words, he is human. And he has not yet found another way to be. When Eustace gets changed into a dragon, he looks at himself, and now he can see a scary monster. And this is the moment that his heart begins to change. In this new and scary physical form, he begins to see his spiritual self in a new way. And he discovers that he wants to connect. He wants to be a better person. It takes work, and he needs help too. He cannot do this alone. But supported and strengthened by his friends, supported, strengthened, healed by the wonderful lion, which is in those books a sign and symbol of the same love our religious ancestors leaned on. A love that goes as far as possible without surrender. With all this, this young and growing person is transformed. And if this can be, I would like to think that maybe there is hope for everybody. Not just some people, but everyone. And I will carry that hope in my actions and my thoughts and my words. This is my sermon for today. You have also done your work today. And my prayer as we go forth is that all the insights that have been found today will grow and deepen in our hearts and transform us in every way that is most needed at this time. So in hope and in gratitude, let us say, Amen.